Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
We are incredibly thankful for the sacrifice of John and Robin. It's just been incredible to have great friends, but then also see the Lord's faithfulness in leadership at Rock Harbor from the beginning. Even when we had a leadership team before, we had elders. And with John stepping away, what that means is there's an opportunity for others. And so Russell Ruff has stepped in after 4 years of being an elder to be our elder chair, which is awesome. And we're really thankful for him and Kim and their leadership. Also, to see, like, with terms of 3 years and then another three potentially with a break, that allows others to step in and to step up into that. And so pray with us as we navigate that. We do have an elder that was our part of, like, launching the church, of the families that met at my house, Todd Gill, who is stepping back in as an elder. He couldn't get enough the first time, and so he's coming back for more. And so this is Todd, Darcy, and their three kids. And so thankful to have them step into leadership like that, or back into leadership. And then also we've got Derek Poppel, who serves, and then Scott Harrop and I are staff, but we're elders. And so we have more non-vocational elders than we do have vocational, and that's our desire as a church to do that. And leadership matters. It's incredibly important. For example, I'm an elder, but I report to the elders. And so to just look at what Scripture says and how does it direct us and how do we have godly, good, biblical eldership. And churches do it different ways, and this is the way that we view the way that Rock Harbor is to be led. And the important part is prayer. Elders, one of the responsibilities is to pray over, to shepherd, to lead, but then a church is to pray for elders as well. Listen to Acts 20, verse 28, when speaking of this role of an elder. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. The very blood of Christ. Protection for the church. To be overseers, to be shepherds. Would you join me as we pray for the church? And we also pray for the leadership here. God, we thank you so much just for the leadership that you're our senior pastor. You're over all things. We trust you. Everything's in your hands. We just want to walk in step with you. Walk in step as things grow. Walk in step as there's challenging times in the church. And Lord, just to know that there is a target upon the individuals and families that reside in that role of elder. So we just pray your protection over it. We want this church to be yours. We want the fruit to be yours. We do not want to touch your glory. So God, we pray towards that. We pray for this team that you have assembled and the team that you continue to assemble. Thank you for the staff that we've been blessed with, for volunteers, people that serve radically to see people begin a relationship with you and to grow, to make disciples, Lord. We pray towards that. Thank you for your blessing, your richest of comfort and encouragement that you bring. It's in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue in our series on Advent. And Advent, this is a time for us to not just worship the season, no thank you, but worshiping the Savior. But this season makes us think about some things. And so in your app, there's the Advent study. And there's just one kind of devotional per week. And then there's also a family activity and devotional. So if you're a parent or grandparent or you want to, just do this on the lawn and just see who comes. We're talking about John the Baptist today. You'd be, a voice in the wilderness. But you can either study on your own or you can share with other people this step into the season of understanding. It really is all about Jesus. And look at the way that has been prepared. So we encourage you to engage in that study. And today in particular, we're talking about hoping in the darkness. Hoping in the darkness, because there's a lot that go on. There's a lot that's gone on in our world. There's a lot that's going on in our daily lives. I mean, even this time of year, if you do deal with seasonal depression, for some it's a thing. For others, it just inhibits the shooting light if you're a duck hunter like myself. And so, you know, I'm complaining because I'm like, I can hear them, but I can't shoot because it's still dark. God, can you do something about this? You know, my problems are minuscule. But it's that kind of thing. And maybe, you know, there's some people that you grew up in Alaska and you're like, you have no idea. Like one of our elders, Derek, he's from the North Pole. He's like, you do not understand. Our shooting light is about 15 minutes, you know, in the North Pole. But maybe you do deal with some of that. Maybe this time of year, this is your first year where there's been some type of change in your life. So when I say hope in the darkness, it's very, very real because there's a lot of darkness. But I want to talk and share about a time that it was really dark. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1. Today that I want to encourage you to please turn in your Bible if you have it. If you have your phone, there's a lot of verses we're going to read through. There's an incredible story of this preparing the way for Jesus that comes through a man named John. But it didn't start light. There was darkness. See, right before where we're reading, now we're in Luke, not in Matthew 1, but if you look how the Old Testament ends, and then all of a sudden it's like one page and then it's New Testament. But you know that's 400 years. That's 400 years, that one page right there. So it was quite dark. It's called a time of silence. There was no prophet that was sharing something. So we look at scripture and it seems simple. It's like, oh, look, and I know we're in Luke, not Matthew, but it picks up with this. In the days of Herod, verse 5, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. They had no child, but they were walking blamelessly. They were living righteously. Even though it had been dark for 400 years, they were still walking with the Lord. They're waiting on the Messiah. He was a priest. He served in the temple. His wife, Elizabeth, was from the lineage of Aaron, which meant she was of the priestly family, but they're just waiting on God. When it's dark, and you may have deal with darkness, discouragement, maybe some depression, or waiting, please walk in stride with God. Even when it's dark, walk in stride with God. Keep praying, keep seeking, keep trusting, keep believing, keep working, keep serving, keep pursuing the Lord. Just wait upon him. Is there anybody that's waiting on something right now? Just be honest. It's a big room, lots of people, right? But just say, I'm waiting on something right now. It's a hard time. It's tough waiting. Having a conversation at the last service with a couple that are waiting on something. To wait. But we can have hope in our waiting, keeping step with God. Verse 11, and then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. This is no typical child. This is not a typical birth. No, this baby will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not Jesus, but he's preparing the way for Jesus. He's going to take the path of a prophet. And that's when a parent's like, yes, he's going to be righteous and live upright. But he's going to be a prophet. And Elijah and other prophets were killed for their faith, killed for what they stood for. Our son may be persecuted. Our son may be abandoned by everyone. Our son's going to say really, really tough things. So yes, he's going to walk with the Lord, but let's be prepared. It's going to be a battle. I don't know what you prayed or pray, if you happen to have kids, for. But I know for my parents, whenever I surrendered my life to the mission field, I believed that I was going to be a missionary. I surrendered to it. So when I was just simply a youth pastor, they were absolutely let down. They're like, get a real job, is what they felt like. I just remember they were so excited for me to possibly go to Brazil or to Colombia as I prayed about different places that God might be calling me. And got married and walked through that, and God led us to this place. And I think now they're over it. I'm still their favorite and things like that. But, you know, I have a sister who's married to a pastor. I have a brother who's a pastor. And then I have another brother who's a farmer. He's obviously the favorite. But they visit once every 10 years. And so they love me the most. But in that, you'd like to know that this is something that the parents longed for, but then are also like, wow, this isn't going to be an easy road. And when we look at Malachi, verse number 3 and verse number 4, or chapter 4, verse 6, like these are the last words of the Old Testament. And listen to the similarities in what's spoken. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Malachi 4, 6, the very last verse of the Old Testament. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Turning the hearts of fathers back to their children. The home matters. It matters. And the last words that were penned, given by God through his Holy Spirit, and then you pick up this prophet, this baby that's inside of you, filled with the Holy Spirit, is going to fulfill this prophecy. It's been dark, but you can trust God. When it's dark, God hears your prayers and will deliver his presence. Even when it's dark, we can trust that. Verse 13 says he heard their prayers. Now on to verse 18. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him and said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you, to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day at which these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. He simply had a question. He was asking for clarity. He's like, we are old people, and we're going to have a child? He also was waiting on an opportunity within the priesthood, because there was a certain sacrifice that there's 18,000 other priests, and he's just waiting. He's waiting in this position that God has placed him in. He's waiting in his home to have a child with something that was greatly longed for, and to have a son. For the namesake, to have a son that would be a priest, but we have no child. So he's asking for some clarity. Even when it's dark, hope in waiting on God. Hope comes in waiting on God. Just don't wait on God, but wait in hope. Trust in hope. God will deliver. Keep believing. Keep hoping. God's still faithful. See, that word hope, actually, the word yakal in the Old Testament, when translated from Hebrew, it means to wait for or hope for. It's interchangeable. To wait for, to hope for. So when you wait, hope. Hope while waiting. There's a longing in Zechariah to have this son. A longing in Elizabeth to have this son. A longing in Israel to have the Messiah come. I don't know what you're waiting on. Maybe you're waiting on some type of a job situation. Maybe you're waiting on something financially. You're waiting and waiting. And you're wondering, like, Lord, like, I trust you, but it's really tough. You're waiting on a relationship to be restored. Maybe you feel forgotten. Maybe it's a diagnosis. You're waiting. Maybe it's waiting on answers or waiting on healing, but waiting. Hope in that waiting. Hope while waiting. Verse 24, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. For 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in these days when he looked upon her. The Lord looked upon Elizabeth. She was seen by God. He sees you as well. To take me away from my reproach among people. See, when God looked up on her, he saw godliness, he saw righteous living. But when the world looked up on her, they thought, you know, let's take the way that the world can look at any situation, but the way the world looked at this situation at that time. If you had children, you were blessed. So if you didn't have children, you weren't worth blessing, or you weren't blessing worthy. And this is something she desired. Now, it's absolutely inaccurate. It couldn't be further from the truth, but she must be outside of God's blessing, and that's why, take away my reproach among people. The reputation of godliness when the Lord saw her, but when the world saw ungodliness. How often does the world do that? How often does the world look at something that you're walking with the Lord, but the world would say, that's not tolerant, that's not kind, that's not nice. If God was really real, then you wouldn't be impoverished. God would have blessed you with finances, so obviously you've done something or you're doing something. The world was ready to write her off in shame, to write her off in disgrace. But God, in his perfect timing, overcomes the decades of darkness that Elizabeth and Zechariah had experienced and brings this light, brings this hope. The decades, the centuries, in fact, of darkness that the children of Israel were waiting and waiting and waiting. Hope begins to step in. Darkness begins to lift. God saw Elizabeth and God sees you. Now, there's this moment in chapter 1 where they have this play date, okay? It's Mary pregnant with Jesus and Elizabeth pregnant with John. They have a play date, baby leaps, super cool. If you like play dates, you can read it. It's verse 39, but I ain't got time. Verse 57, now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son, and her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy for her, and they're rejoicing. They're like, hey, it's finally happening. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, I just read circumcise, and my mind went, and then now I lost my place. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. Golly, things get weird sometimes. Like, I'm the only one up here talking, and you just enjoy my weirdness. God bless all of you. Dear Lord, be with the rest of this service. Okay, but his mother answered, no, he should be called John. Well, name him after his dad. Wait. None of your relatives are called by this name, verse 62. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted to be called. So they're signing to Zechariah, because remember, he can't speak. He asked a question. He can't speak the entire pregnancy. It's going to be lifted when this child is born. And they're asking him a question. And I don't know. He says, give me a sign. I don't know if this is like Jim Harbaugh, Michigan stuff. Like, I don't know what's going on. They're sign stealing, which, by the way, I'm super hoping they win it all. Okay. And or UW. One of those two, but not the other two satanic teams in it. I can't remember the teams, but I know they do not love God. I'm really confident of that. So, I did it again. I literally did it again. I told myself, don't do it, and I did it. I did it. I broke a promise to myself. Verse 63, and the tablet. That's right. They're doing Pictionary. He's like, hey, this is what it is. And then he says, his name is John. The first words, he writes these words, and they all began to wonder. And immediately, verse 64, his mouth was open, his tongue was loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. The first time he gets the opportunity to speak, blessing, gratefulness comes out. God showed him something in the dark. His name will be John. And then the second the baby was born, he spoke this. See, the name John meant God is gracious. Elizabeth, the mother of John. The name means God's oath or promise. There was an oath, there was a promise given to her in her barrenness. Zechariah, his name means the Lord remembers. It might be dark. You might be overlooked in your priesthood. You don't have a son that's going to carry on the priesthood. Like, trust me, God remembers. Zechariah brought to light what the Lord told him in the dark. Zechariah brought to light what the Lord told him in the dark. For you, what that means is there may be something down the road that God is going to use in those dark times of your life, that God's going to speak to you. God's going to do something. It's going to be times of waiting and waiting on the Lord, but the light comes and you're going to be able to say, it was there. It was at this moment. Here's something the Lord said, and I wanted in all of my heart to believe that this provision was going to be made. I wanted with all of my heart for this to happen, but it wasn't. But man, I look back now and say, look at God's faithfulness. Look at what our bank account was and look at what the Lord did. Look at what took place in our family, but look at the Lord's healing. Look at the loss that we encountered, but look at God's comfort. Zechariah brought to light what the Lord showed him in the dark. The quiet was lifted. And what did he do? He praised and gave gratefulness to God. Then he began to prophesy. And you, child, you're going to be called, this is verse 76, the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. It's like Jesus is coming. God, the Son, is coming. But you're going to prepare his ways to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercies of our God. Whereby, listen to this, the sunrise shall visit us from upon high. The light will begin to enter in. And you, child, you're going to be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give light once again to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Sometimes what God shows you in the dark, he wants you to expose when the light comes, and it's to give encouragement to those that are at the shadow of death. They're in the shadow of death. They're going through it, but you're going to shine light. That's what we're to do, to guide our feet to the way of peace. And this child grew, became strong in spirit, and was in the wilderness into the day of his public appearance in Israel. When it's dark, give light to those who sit in that darkness. When it's dark, this is why you're in a community group. This is why you're engaged in godly relationships. If you're not, you need to. If you're not in biblical community, if you don't have people around you, and I'm not talking, well, I could always call, so I'm talking a regular time that you meet with other people, that you talk about what you're walking through. You pray for, you know the things that you don't want to bother other people with? You bother those people with. And it's no bother at all. And what do? They rescue, they shed light when you're in the shadow of death. You're shedding light when they're in the shadow of death. You're a lamp. God's word, prayer, you're preparing the way. You're not the Holy Spirit, but God's Holy Spirit is working through you. This is the importance of preparing the way. This is the importance of being the light. If John the Baptist had a mission statement, it would be prepare the way. Prepare the way. Emmett Smith of the Dallas Cowboys is the all-time NFL leading rusher. Now, some of you're like, oh my goodness, here we go. Hold on for just one second. When he was giving his Hall of Fame speech in 2010, he looked out in the crowd and he said, none of this would be possible without you. And he wasn't talking about his dad, he wasn't talking about his coach, he wasn't talking about his quarterback. He was talking about Darryl Johnston, known as Moose because he was such a big guy. Darryl Johnston, the fullback, prepared the way. He prepared the way. I got this. We did a jersey swap, and I gave him a flannel, and he gave me this. And so, pretty powerful, just a moment that we had together. But he was just a big dude. I mean, he was 50 pounds bigger. He hit harder, 6 inches taller. You know, because of Darryl Johnston, actually the position of fullback was never allowed in the Pro Bowl, ever, until Darryl Johnston, paving the way for Lorenzo Neal and other fullbacks that made it over the years, because it's all about the running back and whoever gets the most yards, the most touchdowns, and all of that. But the fullback, the one that prepares the way, the one that seals the edge, I feel bad for the Bears fans. Because they get destroyed a lot. They had one good year in 1985, but other than that, okay, just like Elizabeth, God sees you, Bears fans. God sees you. But look at that, just cutting right off of his hip, sealing the outside so that he could get the yards. Preparing the way. That's what the fullback does. Keith, what does that have to do with the Bible? Well, that's what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist prepared the way. He prepared the way for Jesus. He wasn't Jesus. In fact, you ought to hear him talk about himself. He says, I'm not even fit to untie the sandal of the one who's coming. You know untying a sandal, how nasty that is? The most menial, lowest job for a servant, a slave, walking into someone's house with animal stuff all over your feet and dirt and dust to untie the sandal. He's like, I'm not even qualified for that. What am I? Well, verse 23. John says, I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah says. He quotes Isaiah 40, verse number 3. I'm not a prophet, I'm not important, I'm not anything, I'm just a voice. I'm not Jesus, I'm not Elijah, I'm not the Messiah. I can't even untie the sandal. No, I baptized with water because he was preparing the way for the dead to be raised up in life. For the sacrifice that was to happen with a lamb once a year for payment of sins, to then transition to there was a lamb that was coming, the Messiah. Listen what he said about Jesus. He saw him coming and he says, verse 29, John 1, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's coming. Like the first time he's on the scene and John was doing this baptismal ministry for people to their hearts to be made right with God, but the sacrifice had yet to be made in Jesus, but now he was here. And then he says, behold, it is him. He's preparing the way. That is what he is to do. That is what we are to do. Prepare the way for the gospel. You can't will anyone to Christ. You can't save anyone, but we can prepare the way. We can be hope in the darkness. We are to be the light of Christ, the Holy Spirit working through us. And just think, this is his cousin. His younger cousin at that. I have a July birthday. July 15th, anyone? July 15th, for real? Dude, I can't wait to see what you get me. Because you won't forget. You're not going to forget. It's going to be sick. Can't wait. Praying about it. Praying about what you could get me. I love duck hunting. Pray about it. Tell your parents, save up, start saving up, Pastor Keith. Okay, that got weird. Preparing the way. July birthday, my name's Keith. My cousin Heath was born in September. Keith and Heath. What? Is there a Heath? I don't even know what's going on. Here's the point, okay? We grew up together. Like, I practiced wrestling moves on him. Like, I remember clotheslining him and him thinking I broke his trachea. I remember it well. I cut his hair. Cut his hair, not without permission, by the way. He used to eat Miracle Whip sandwiches. Oh, so, oh my word. You need Jesus. Oh my goodness. We're both in the military. He's in the military and I'm in the Lord's army. Same thing, you know? But I grew up with him and I never would ever think that he is like Jesus. Think about that. The same kid that John played dodgeball with, Jesus. And they didn't have dodgeballs, they used rocks back then, you know? Was the Son of God. And he got to be there and he was the one that baptized him. He was at the moment when it was, no, it's my son, I'm well pleased in you as God the Father looked down. And then the Holy Spirit was present and God the Son was baptized and that became the symbol, not for the forgiveness of sins, but for the gospel ministry of Jesus, for you and I to say, I identify with Christ. And John got a front row seat to this. Elizabeth got a front row seat of the promised one coming through her lineage and her faithfulness after being barren and shamed by the world. Look at what the Lord did. It's incredible. Prepare the way. That's all we're supposed to do is prepare the way. Prepare the way. Are you a prepared people? See, Thomas asked Jesus in John chapter 14, how do we know, Lord? How do we know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the true way. That's the light in the darkness. And we're supposed to prepare that way for other people to know. Are you prepared for eternity? You know, Jesus could come back in your lifetime. Are you prepared for that? Your life is but a vapor, and all you're supposed to do is prepare the way. All John the Baptist was supposed to do. You're not Jesus. You can't save anyone. You're to prepare the way. Are you preparing the way? You inviting someone to be here Christmas Eve? You opening up a conversation about Jesus Christ? Are you preparing the way for the gospel? Would you receive the hope in the darkness? And will you be the hope in the darkness? Are you being Jesus Christ to other people? Would you bow with me? Lord, we want to be a prepared people. We want to point people to you, but we have to get out of the way. John couldn't show Jesus if he was busy showing John. So God, let us be people that are humble. Let us be people that are submitted. Let us be people that reflect your light and your hope. God, I pray right now for those that are struggling, those that are in this season right now, and they're asking for the miraculous to take place. They're asking for freedom in some area of their life. They're asking for comfort. God, I pray for your hope to fill them. Hope in the darkness. God, I pray for those that want to surrender their life to you. Today would be that day. You're the only hope. You're the only life. Let us point to you in everything that we do. Amen.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps, and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.